Well, you can open your Bibles once again to Ephesians chapter 6 if you have them this morning, or your phones or whatever it is that you read the scriptures on. Today we're going to be jumping back into our series within a series titled The Armor of God, as we've been walking through the entire Bible, but we've stopped here in Ephesians 6 to talk about the armor of God. Now, we took a little break last week as I had my friend Tyler Nice, who came and shared with us after I was gone the week before to our district conference. And again, Tyler just shared a powerful message. And so if you happen to miss it, you can go check it out online. But as I mentioned earlier, we're jumping back into our series within a series as we take a look at the armor of God that Paul talks about at the end of Ephesians, in Ephesians 6. And to kind of help catch us up a little, we've talked about the fact that we're engaged in this great spiritual battle. There is a war that is going on around us that we can't see with our physical eyes, but we can see the effects and the damage that it's causing to our world. And the Lord has given us some spiritual tools to overcome the attacks that we experience in the midst of these battles. And so far in this series, we've looked at two aspects of the spiritual armor that Paul talks about here in Ephesians. We first talked about the belt of truth, you may remember, and just the importance of knowing God's truth. Because if we know the truth, it's harder for the enemy to deceive us, right? And to get us to fall into his traps and his ways. And then the next piece of spiritual armor we talked about, it was the breastplate of righteousness, right? And the importance of walking in God's righteousness. The importance of allowing God's grace and forgiveness to cover us with His righteousness. Because when we walk in righteousness, the enemy has nothing to hold over our heads. And so we can walk with our heads held high in the freedom that God gives to each of us. And so now this morning, we're going to take a look at the next piece of armor that Paul tells us we need to put on to protect ourselves in this spiritual battle that rages on around us. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. This is what it says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, the next piece of armor that Paul tells us to put on is the shoes. In verse 15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, as I mentioned when we first started this series, Paul was in prison, right? He was on house arrest. And so every day he would see the soldiers' uniform and the armor that they would be wearing. And so Paul knew the importance of each part of that uniform, each part of that armor, and how it protected the soldier. And he's able to relate that physical armor to the spiritual armor that we need to protect us in this spiritual battle. And I believe Paul, he did an amazing job, right? Because the power of the Spirit was upon him. But he did an amazing job of connecting the use of the physical armor with how we use this spiritual armor. And as I studied this little section of Scripture, I realized that there are many things that the shoes can do for a soldier, many ways that they can help them. And so the Lord showed me four ways that the shoes of the gospel, we're talking about the gospel here, help us in this spiritual battle that we face, and how they actually enable us to experience peace, right? The gospel of peace. And so let me share with you the first thing that the shoes do, which is this. Number one, they prepare us for the battle. They prepare us for the battle. Now, you don't have to do much studying or dig too far in the scripture to see this truth, right? It says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then the King James Version actually says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so the shoes, they prepare us for the battles that we face ahead. Now, I think most of you know that I was in the Marines, and when I was at boot camp, one of the things that I hated most was when they woke us up in the morning. The drill instructors would come in yelling and screaming and banging on metal trash can lids or whatever loud they had that they could bang on. And let's just say it was not a pleasant way to wake up, right? You know, now I have my nice little music that starts out, you know, soft and gets a little louder if I don't wake up and a little bit louder. But this was not a pleasant way to wake up. And then after waking us up, they would start just barking out orders, right? Get your socks on! Get your socks on! Get them on now! And before you ever had time to even, you just barely had that first sock on, they'd bark out the next order. You know, get your trousers on! Get your trousers on! And then get your blouse on! Get your blouse on! If you don't know what the blouse is, that's the cami top. It has all these buttons, right? So you gotta button up this cami. And as you're trying to get them all buttoned, they're starting to yell out the next orders. Get your boots on! Get your boots on! And it's just one order after another. And before you can get your boots on, they're screaming, now get out of my barracks right now! Get out! Get out! Get out! Right? And some of you guys that have been in boot camp are having flashbacks right now, right? One order after another. The problem is, I had trouble getting out when they wanted me to get out because I wasn't ready. Because I didn't have my boots on, right? I didn't have my shoes on. And the interesting thing is that we had two different kinds of boots that we would use in the Marine Corps. We had our dress boots, and then we had our jungle boots. And the boots you wore that day were kind of dependent upon what you were going to do that day, and they would tell you ahead of time what boots to put on. Now, the dress boots, they made life in the mornings a lot easier. And that's because they had what they called speed laces. They were these special little eyelets that you just basically grab the shoelaces and pull, and they just tighten up really quick, and then you can tie your shoes. But the jungle boots were a whole other story. Now, if you've ever had, you know, high boots, you know you have to, like, undo the shoelaces. You have to take them out, literally, to get them on. And so they're yelling at you, and you're having to do right over left, left over right, right? It's this tedious, the way you have to tie your shoes in the Marine Corps. And you couldn't just, like, not worry about it, because later if they noticed that you didn't have right over left, left over right, you'd be doing push-ups and you'd be in trouble. And so here you are, they're barking orders and you're just trying to get it through right over left, left over right. You're trying to get your shoes tied and they're saying, get out, get out, get out. But you can't. Why? Because you're not ready, because you don't have your shoes on. You see, our shoes prepare us to be able to head out and to be ready for whatever comes our way. I learned this even more later after boot camp when I was in Okinawa in 3rd Recon Battalion. Now, I was very fortunate and I never had to go into actual combat. But we regularly trained just in case we ever had to go to war. And so we would do these mock missions or mock wars to get ready for battle. And in these mock missions, we would actually, as a small recon team, we would sleep with our boots on. Because if we had to get up fast, if we had to move, we needed to be prepared to just go. We didn't have time to lace up and do all that. We just had to be ready to take off if the enemy was close. And so having our shoes on already made it easy for us to just get up and go. This is something that used to be an issue in our house when our kids were younger. Not so much anymore now that they're older, but our kids have always been, you know, in the habit of taking their shoes off when we come into the house. It's something all of us did when we used to have carpet when we first had kids. But now that we have laminate floors, I leave my shoes on all the time. But my kids got in this habit, and when my kids were little, I would get frustrated with them almost every time we went to go somewhere, right? And that's because every time we were about to walk out the door, one of my kids would say, "I'm not ready." And I'm like, "What do you mean you're not ready? I told you to get ready. I told you we were leaving." And I said, "Why aren't you ready?" And what would they say? "Because my shoes aren't on. I don't have my shoes on." You see, when our shoes are on, we're prepared to go. But when they're not, we're not ready to move. We're not ready to go. And so the question is, how does this apply then to the gospel, to our spiritual shoes? Well, one of the things we know is that we've already been given our orders, right? We're called to go. Go into all the world with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel means. If you didn't know that, I remember I didn't find that out till like in high school, because I'm like, what is the gospel? The pastor always talked about the gospel. And he talked about it in a way like I should have known, but I was afraid to ask because I'd been in church long enough that I should have known. And so maybe you're sitting there, what is this guy? The gospel. Gospel literally means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if we know the good news, if we know the gospel, we are prepared to go. We're prepared to go and to share the good news with others. When we put on the gospel, I think it can actually be an offensive weapon that prepares us to go and see the kingdom of God extended. What better way could we combat the enemy than by bringing more people into the kingdom of God as we let our light shine, as we share the gospel? In essence, we're called to go out, right? To love and to care for others with the love of Jesus, to help others see the truth of who Jesus is and the love and grace that He has for all of us. And knowing the gospel, knowing the good news prepares us to do that. So the shoes prepare us and make us ready to go. And then the next thing the shoes do is this. Number two, they protect us in the battle. Now, back in the days of Paul, as I studied, the soldiers' shoes were often made of brass or metal, and that was to protect them from traps and sticks or sharp objects that the enemy would lay out to injure them or to slow them down. And in these times, the way average soldiers got around was by foot, right? Unless they were lucky enough to be on a chariot or something, but pretty much everyone went around by foot, and so it was important that their feet were protected. And having these strong and durable shoes enabled them to march on with a peace of mind. Instead of having to worry about were there sticks sticking up, were there things on the ground that they had to look for, instead of having to worry about what they might step on, they could focus on what lied ahead. They could focus on the mission at hand. When we put on the gospel, it reminds us of the protection that we have in Christ. He protects us. He is our protector. The good news is that accepting Him, accepting the gospel, brings His protection upon our lives. When my kids were little, every once in a while when we would tuck them into bed at night, they would tell us they were afraid, right? They were scared, and they would always ask that question, can we come sleep with you guys? Can we come sleep with you, Mommy and Daddy? Now, my common response would be that you know, Mommy and Daddy, we're right in the next room. We're right here. If you need anything, we're right here. We're just a call away. And this is the same promise that God gives us. His gospel reminds us that He's right there. He's right with us in the midst of this battle. He will never leave us or forsake us. And much like the soldier, as we know this, and as we understand the gospel, it allows us to walk forward in peace, to move ahead with the peace of knowing that we have His protection, knowing that He's right there with us. Because honestly, if we have God on our side, why do we need to worry? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? The shoes prepare us. They make us ready to go. They protect us. And the third thing they do is they bring stability in the battle. You see, the right kind of shoes can actually give us stability, right? Numerous times in these scriptures, it talks about standing. At the end of verse 13, it says, to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand, right? To stand strong. You see, our shoes help us dig in. They help us plant and stand our ground. In Marine Corps combat training, we were taught to kind of plant ourselves, to anchor ourselves, to be ready for the enemy or whoever it was that we were facing. Our footing is extremely important. It helps us to stay balanced and to stand firm against the enemy. And so when we talk about putting on the shoes of the gospel, we're talking about stability. We're talking about being firmly planted in His gospel, planted in Christ. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are we planted in? What is it that we are standing firm on? What is our foundation? The good news is that Jesus is our firm foundation. We can stand in Him and in His Word and stand strong. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Without the gospel, without Jesus, we are like the illustration of the foolish builder that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7. As a matter of fact, I want to share that scripture with you, that section of it. In Matthew 7, verses 26 through 27, it says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And what happened? And it fell with a great crash. If we don't stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the attacks of the enemy come and rage against us, instead of standing, we're going to get crushed. What are we standing on right now in the midst of the craziness and the challenges that we're seeing in our world right now? If we're not standing on the firm foundation of the Lord, we're going to find ourselves getting wiped out. Paul knows that the only way we'll experience victory, the only way we'll be able to stand strong in the midst of the battles is if our feet are firmly planted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of who He is. And the cool thing is, when we're planted in Him, and when He is our foundation, we can experience a peace like it talks about in Philippians 4:7. That peace that is described as the peace that passes all understanding. That even in the battles, even in the storms, even in the midst of COVID and political unrest in our world, we can experience His peace because His foundation is never shaken. The shoes of peace, they prepare us and they make us ready to go. They protect us and they give us stability in Jesus as we stand in Him. And then the final thing they do is this, number four, they help us endure the battles. They help us endure. They help us go the distance, right? Isn't that what we all want? We want to be able to go the distance. You see, it's amazing, actually, what good shoes can do for your feet, especially if you have problems with your feet. My wife is flat-footed, and all throughout her life, she has struggled with walking long distances or being on her feet for long periods of time without experiencing pain and discomfort, right? But several years ago, our pastor's wife in Newburgh told Stacy about these shoes called Fit-Flops. Now, in the beginning, the company just made flip-flops, you know, thus the name Fit-Flops. But now they have a variety of different types of shoes that you can wear. And my wife will tell you that these shoes have made all the difference in the world for her. In her Fit-Flops, she can walk all sorts of distances without experiencing the pain that she used to experience. And if you know anything about the military, you know that soldiers, they can hike for hours, right? Upon hours with all kinds of heavy gear on their back. Sometimes those packs were 30 to 60 pounds. And I was a radio man, so most of the time I had the 60-pound pack on my back. And so it's important that we have good quality boots that will help us endure, that will help us go the distance. You see, sometimes the battle can be won simply because we're able to persevere and outlast our opponent. Endurance is important in a physical battle, and the same holds true for us in the spiritual battle that we face. Because just being able to persevere is half the battle. This is why it's so important for us to put on the gospel, to put on the shoes. Because the good news reminds us that we are victorious. You see, knowing the gospel, it brings hope to our lives. And just knowing that there is hope gives us reason to press on and endure. The good news is that Jesus is coming back, right? And it's then that His victory will be claimed once and for all. The spiritual war that we're in the middle of will finally be over. No more pain, no more hurt, no more struggles. Just knowing this truth should help us persevere and endure. That there's something powerful about knowing that there is an end in sight, right? If there's no end in sight, then it's hard to have hope. But if there is an end in sight, we're able to have hope. I can tell you this from experiences that I had in my own life. I've been talking a lot about the Marine Corps, and so I went there again. But in boot camp, which I talked about earlier, I remember the minute I walked out of the airport doors there in San Diego. I hopped on a plane with a bunch of guys from the Portland area, and we're all talking about joining the Marine Corps and what this life is going to be like, and we're going to be United States Marines. And we're coming there out of the airport. There was a handful of us having a good time, joking around, talking. And then we walk out the doors of the airport and we see these drill instructors that looked at us and said, "Are you guys going to MCRD, Marine Corps Recruiting Depot?" And we're like, "Yeah, yeah. I think it's yes, sir." And in that moment, everything changed, okay? No more laughing and joking around. They told us to sit down, shut up, and wait for their orders. Things got real, real quick in that moment. And after getting bussed over to MCRD, getting our heads shaved, right, and a night full of craziness, all these fears and doubts began to rise inside of me. What did I do? Right? What did I get myself into? Is there any way out right now? Can I stop? Can I go home? But here's the thing. I knew it was just 3 months. Just 3 months. 90 days, right? 90 days and boot camp would be over and I'd be able to call myself a United States Marine. And that's what I held on to. And in my field book, which is the binder full of all sorts of information of all the things you have to learn in boot camp, I actually, in the back, you have these blank pages, and I made this calendar, and every day I would put an X after I got through a day, just giving me hope as I kept looking at it, as more X's and less empty spaces, that it would eventually all be over. You see, hope, it helps us endure. It helps us push through the difficult times. And the great thing about the gospel is not only does God promise us that someday this war will all be over, but as I shared earlier, He also promises us peace in the midst of the war. And His peace enables us to keep going, to endure through the difficulties, to go the distance. The victory has already been won. Turn to the end of the book. If you're one of those that don't like to, spoil it, be one of those in this. Turn to the end of the book and read the end, right? The victory has already been won. And so we want to be people who put on our armor, who stand firm in these spiritual battles that we experience, so that when all is said and done, we can stand. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Paul and just his wisdom and the wisdom that You gave him to share about the spiritual armor that You have given us to help us in this battle. And Lord, the gospel, the good news of who You are, it does so many things, Lord. It prepares us. It protects us, Lord. It helps us endure. It does so many things that enable us to continue to press on and to fight the fight that lays before us, Lord. And so we want to be people who put on the gospel, Lord, who go into all the world and allow Your light to shine bright through us, Lord Jesus. And so we thank You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the good news that You've given us, Lord. The fact that we have the gospel, the fact of what You did for us so that we could have life, Lord. Without the gospel, Lord, there would be no hope. But because of the gospel, we have all the hope in the world. And so, Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the hope that it brings to us. And we pray that You help us to regularly to put on the shoes of the gospel that bring peace, Lord. And I especially, right now in these times that we face, I pray, Lord, that You would just give us Your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. May we be reminded, Lord, that You are with us, that You are in the midst of all the difficulties and challenges and the battles that we face, and that we can turn to You and rely upon Your strength. Because if You are for us, who can be against us, Lord? We will continue to face battles. We will continue to struggle, and we know that, Lord. But help us to stand firm in You, because we know that the victory has been won. And as we can hold on, we can experience the victory that You have for each and every one of us. We thank You for these things. We thank You for Your word. May You allow them to speak to each of us where we're at. What is it that You want to speak to us today through Your word? We give it all to You. We pray, Lord, not our will, but Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.